come on up. Crystal and Manny.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Crystal Vargas, for those who don't know me. This morning, I'll be sharing my testimony with you all. So growing up in the Pentecostal movement, I lived believing in a work-based salvation, where depression was a constant state of being for me because no matter what I did, I always failed. Naturally, the thought in mind was that I would never be good enough to make it to heaven. So I remained in constant fear of going to hell and thought that if the rapture happened or death came, I'd be left behind or cast into hell. What I didn't know then was the condition that I was in. What is this, you might ask? Well, Romans 3:10 through 18 says, "None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asp is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their path are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." That was my condition. Between the ages of 10 and 11, I had prayed the sinner's prayer and thought that I had done what was necessary to give God access to my life. Now the years had passed, and at the age of 18, when my oldest son was born, everything changed. I had left my son's father before my son had turned one and decided to move on with my life as a single mother. This led me to be involved in outings and many things that were of no good, to the point where I began questioning myself about everything in life, and especially my Christianity. And I say this because I had been declaring to everyone that I was a Christian. Now, a couple of months had passed, and the Holy Spirit was convicting me of my sins, so much so that I began to feel disgusted with the things of the world. The classes for baptism became available, and in April of 2010, I was baptized, beginning what I thought was a righteous life before Christ. When I say what I thought, I mean it in a Pharisaical way, with laws implemented by men. For example, worrying about changing my external behaviors without it being rooted in Scripture to gain salvation. I remember that the day I was baptized, I felt invincible, like nothing could ruin my life because I had Jesus, as though I would never sin again. But as the days went by, I realized that sin was still a prominent problem, and I kept hating myself for it because here I was thinking I was supposed to be sinless. And according to what I was taught, if I sinned, that meant I lost my salvation because it was dependent on my righteousness instead of Christ. Now, marriage, going to college, and being questioned about my faith were the tools that God was using to draw me closer to himself. Through the reading of Scripture and many sermons my husband would send me, I finally understood what is said in Ephesians 2:8 through 10. That for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God's grace had saved me. I understood that there was nothing I could do or had to do to earn salvation. It was God who chose me and gave me the gift of salvation that could never be taken away. As Jesus says in John 10:28, "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." As I reflect on God's providence and his great mercy over my life for his glory, I am to leave you all with this one quote from Charles Spurgeon. "No real faith was ever wrought in man by his own thoughts and imaginations. He must receive the gospel as a revelation from God, or he cannot receive it at all."
Okay, it gets very hot up here. I got very thirsty. My name is Emmanuel Vargas, and honestly, I don't know about everyone else, but for me, it was very difficult to write this testimony. I honestly didn't know what to include and what not to include. So I spent a lot of time rewriting my testimony. To a certain extent, I've always been around the church. When I was a kid, my parents would take me to church. I have family members who are pastors and involved in ministry. I would say about 4 years ago, I started to listen to guys like John MacArthur, Matt Chandler, Steve Lawson, and R.C. Sproul. And if you know me at all, my favorite teacher, Paul Washer. I don't endorse every... I feel like, unfortunately, we have to say that nowadays. I don't endorse everything they teach, but a lot of what they teach is rooted in Scripture. And it God used to help me. These sermons completely contradicted what I was taught from my youth about salvation. At the time, it motivated me to read the Bible for myself to see, are these preachers lying or was I taught lies? It didn't take long for me to realize that many of the things I was taught were wrong, and that angered me. I read as much as I could, listened to many sermons. Honestly, at that moment, the motive was not to learn more of God so I may know him. My main reason for reading was to prove that what I was taught from my youth was wrong. It is sad to say, but most of the doctrine I learned about salvation was learned out of spite, not out of love for God. But it is funny because just like we see in Scripture, as men do things for the selfish motive, God fulfills his plans and uses what we intend for evil for good. So I understood I was a sinner, but I didn't understand the magnitude. I was taught that I can choose God, that salvation is a gift, which is true. The lie is I had the power to choose God, or the power to change my heart so that I may desire God and obey his commandment. We all have heard this phrase, accept God into your heart. But even if I did all that, accept God into my heart, start to obey his commandments, change my entire life with my own strength, not depending on God, which FYI, it's impossible to do. If I sin once, I will lose my salvation and must start the whole process all over again. So you can see why I was so angry. That is not salvation that the scriptures speak of. That type of teaching does not give hope, peace, joy, and it does not glorify God. It is a man-centered gospel. There are some scriptures that even sound as though it is possible. But if you look at scripture as a whole, you quickly realize that that is not the case. Romans 3, and I'm going to read it again. Romans 3 explains man's condition. No one is righteous. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned astray. They all have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. This has been man's condition from the beginning. In Genesis, Adam and Eve died, and some people don't understand it. I didn't understand it because there was no physical death. But from that day forward, man was a slave to sin, separated from God, haters of God, truly dead, the worst kind of death. Think of it this way. Can you tell a dead man to go to the hospital to get help? No, it's impossible. And I was that dead man. I stumbled upon another scripture. John 6:44, no one comes to me unless the Father draws him. So think about this. Man is a slave to sin. Man is spiritually dead. The worst part is man can't even draw near to God, nor does he want to. So here are some verses that honestly changed my life, changed my heart. They allowed me to see the beauty of the gospel. They speak of what God would do despite man's condition. Ezekiel, you can find this in Ezekiel 36:25. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness. And from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone and from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. And then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds, and you were not good, and you will loathe yourself for your iniquities and your abominations. Jeremiah 31:33, for this is the covenant that I will establish with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each teach his neighbor, each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember their sin no more. There's other scriptures that speak of God redeeming us, purchasing us, adopting us as sons and daughters. Even in the process of sanctification, God is involved. In Philippians 2:12, Paul gives a command, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And some people stop there and say, see, it's dependent on you. But if you keep reading, you will see Paul's reasoning. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. My point is, that salvation, the gospel, is God-centered, all from justification, sanctification, to glorification. God is the author and perfecter of our faith. We see this theme throughout the entire scripture. There is no great man of God. There is a great God who works through sinful men. God is the star of this story, the only hero in scripture. When God allowed me to understand this, it changed my life. It honestly saved me from a legalistic view of Christianity and allowed me to see the beauty of the gospel. So now I live by faith, like Romans 1:17 states, faith that God chose me before the foundation of the world, faith that the Holy Spirit convicted me of sin, faith that God granted me repentance, faith that the Father drew me near to the Son. I work out my salvation with fear and trembling, with faith in God, who works in me both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Faith that God is conforming me to the image of his Son. And when needed, he would chasten me because I'm his Son. When I sin, by faith I ask him to forgive me, for he is faithful to forgive. And this faith I speak of is not of my own. It is a gift from God, so I will not boast. But as long as I boast, I will boast in God.